Jason. Good morning. This morning we're going to be in the book of 2 Chronicles. If you'll turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 13. The book of 2 Chronicles and chapter 13. We'll be looking at chapter 13 this morning. All right. Second Chronicles in chapter 13. Let's read verses 1 to 5, and then we'll jump further down and read a few more verses. 2 Chronicles chapter 13 this morning. In verse 1. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemarim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt?" Let's jump down to verse 13. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. The key verse we find here in verse 18. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for your presence with us this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you, Lord, and worship you, that we can sing praise to your name and thanksgiving for our salvation. And Lord, we thank you for this life that you've given us here on earth, Lord. We thank you that we can learn to know you and love you more. Lord, to rely on you as we learn to walk by faith. Lord, we thank you for our yearly theme, and we thank you already for what you've taught us and how you're working in each one of our lives. And Lord, we do pray that we would be attentive to your word this morning. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would work in us to reveal to us, Lord, your word. Lord, we pray that you would teach us the lessons that you have meant for us to learn from this passage. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, apply your word, and we do ask, dear God, that you would strengthen our faith as a result of hearing from thee this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, God simply shows us a time in the life of the nation of Judah that he did a great work of faith in them. And we see in verse 18 that God commands them in this by saying that the children of Israel, the children of Judah prevailed. The children of Judah prevailed. That is, they not only won the battle, but they were strengthened in their faith. As they placed their faith in God, they went forward strengthened in their faith because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. And no doubt this year, God wants to strengthen your faith. God wants to strengthen my faith. That's why God has given us this yearly theme of the just shall live by faith. God wants to strengthen our faith. He wants us to go forward with greater faith, and yet that cannot be done unless we rely totally on Him. Just by way of introduction, here in verse 18 of chapter 13, we see that the word rely that God uses, the word rely means to lean, it means to rest on, it means to stay. The idea is a total reliance on God, not just a measure of faith, not just true faith, but a total, complete reliance on God, holding nothing back and not trusting anything else. A total reliance on God. And that's what God wants us to have. And that's the faith He desires us to have. And that's the work He's aiming to achieve in our lives, that our faith would grow from strength to strength this year and would move forward. God wants us to totally rely on Him. And this morning I'd like us to look at this chapter to learn how we can rely on God and what that means. How you and I can practically trust God more and totally rely on Him so that you and I will prevail by faith this year in regards to what God would desire to do in our hearts as we walk by faith. A faith that totally relies on God. We see an example of that faith here in chapter 13 this morning. And as we move and look into our passage this morning, notice in verse 1, the Bible tells us that Rehoboam's son Abijah became the next king of Judah after his father's death. Now we know that Rehoboam was a wicked king. He was a wicked king for most of his life, and Abijah inherited a lot from him, which we'll talk about a little later. But one thing he inherited was the rule over a divided kingdom. We know that the nation of Judah had been separated from by the rest of Israel, and Jeroboam was now the king of Israel, and the two were at war. The Bible tells us in verse 2, if you look with me, we read that verse, and there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And as they prepared for battle, we see in verse 4 that Abijah stood up on a mountain nearby to speak to Jeroboam and all Israel. In verse 5, he told them of God's promises to David, God's covenant with David, that God has chosen him and chosen the line of Judah to reign over all Israel. And Abijah reminded Jeroboam that they were in fact rebelling against God by their actions. In verses 8 to 9, he rebuked Jeroboam. He said to Jeroboam, they had rebelled against God because they had built golden calves. They had built statues of gold, idols, to strange gods to worship. And they had replaced the priests of God, the Levites, with wicked and evil and sinful men that had led the nation of Israel into idolatry and greater wickedness. He rebuked them for their sins. And then in verses 10 to 12, he boldly stood before them and claimed that they were on God's side, that they worshipped the one true living God, and therefore He was on their side. He was bold in His address to them, and I'm sure you'd agree with me this morning, Abijah and his men had a measure of faith in God at that time. They had a measure of faith in the Lord at that time. But what I want us to notice firstly this morning, as we look to how we can rely totally on God this year, what I want us to notice is that we see a faith, first of all, a faith against the odds. We see a faith against the odds. In verse 3, we read that Abijah, he only had an army of 400,000 soldiers. In verse 3, look with me, The Bible tells us he only had an army of 400,000 chosen soldiers. But Jeroboam, how many did he have? 800,000. Twice as many soldiers we find Jeroboam had in his army. Now that might not seem a big deal at first glance as we just simply read over it. But think with me for a moment when we consider what was at stake. With twice as many men on the battlefield, with twice as many men in the battle, practically, there'd be two men fighting against every one individual soldier of Abijah's army. There would be 2-1, and definitely that would easily be the case with twice as many soldiers on the field. And if that one was killed, which was very likely, with two men fighting against him, then we would see, we can see very easily that the odds would jump and multiply very quickly as Abijah's men perhaps were defeated because they were outnumbered. And remember, God tells us that both the armies were just as skilled in battle. Both of them were mighty men, but Jeroboam had twice as many. Jeroboam had twice as many. And we can see this morning, from a human point of view, these were terrible odds. These were disastrous odds as they prepared for battle. Their very lives were at stake. This wasn't a game. This wasn't a football match where one would win and the other team would go home, perhaps learning a few lessons. No, their lives were at stake. Their lives were at stake. Their nation's future was at stake. But even though they were outnumbered, even though Jeroboam had twice as many men of valor in his army, Abijah still, in verse 3, set the battle in array. He put his men in a position to fight despite what he saw before him. In verse 4, we read that Abijah stood up upon the mountain and he rebuked them. He went even further. He rebuked them and all Israel for their sins. We see, first of all, this morning, a faith against the odds. A faith against the odds. And God tells us in verse 18, that's a faith that prevailed. That's a faith that prevailed, that went forward with courage and strength in God because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. A faith against the odds. The simple lesson for you and I this morning is that God wants us to trust in Him and not what we see around us. Not what we see in our lives. God doesn't want us to trust in what we see happening in our lives, the circumstances, the difficulties, the trials, what we visibly see in front of us. God wants us to trust in Him. See, Abijah and the nation of Judah, they saw the odds that were against them. As Abijah set the battle in array, it was obvious that they were outnumbered. It was easy to see that there were twice as many fierce and mighty men against them, but yet they chose to look to God by faith. They chose to stand against the odds because they trusted in the Lord. Let's turn to Psalm 46 for a moment. As we look at this need to look to God and not to trust in what we see. Psalm 46 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. Let's read these two verses together, if you please. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. On 2. 1, 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We see here that the psalmist cries out and says, even if the world was falling down around me, even if he could see the very mountains around him crumbling into the ocean, he would still trust in God to save him. He would still trust the Lord. And that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. A faith that goes beyond what we can see, despite what we can see, against the odds, a faith that relies on God no matter what we see happening in our lives. We read this morning a wonderful verse in our Bible reading. God desires and commands us to walk by faith and not by sight. A very simple verse, but yet how often we get it the other way around. We live by sight, if we were to be honest with ourselves. We live by what we can see, yet we say we're trusting in God. And yet time and time again God reveals to us how little our faith is. Because we're trusting and living by sight. We're trusting in what we can see. And the two are opposite. If you live by sight, you're not living by faith. If you live by faith, then certainly you're not living by sight, as we see in this example of Abijah's army who stood against the odds. Now, whether we find ourselves in a trial, perhaps just a point of decision that needs to be made, maybe a great difficulty in our lives, the first thing we usually do, we don't usually look to God first. First thing we usually do, well, we like to weigh up the odds, don't we? We don't immediately, and typically we don't, first of all, look to God. We weigh up the odds. We look at our situation and try and figure out how we can work it out best for us. What we can do. And that's not a sinister motive. Depending on the situation, we just want to solve the problem. And yet, the reality is, we're trusting in ourselves. We're not trusting in God. We're trying to work it out in our own strength. We're trying to weigh up the odds. And as we continue along that path, because we're trusting in ourselves, as the difficulty and the pressure becomes even worse, and it grows, when things seem impossible, when the doors seem to have closed, and you look at the situation before you and you realize you're helpless, as often as I have also done, we get discouraged. We panic. We fall into despair. Why? Because we're not trusting in God. Because we're not walking by faith. We're walking by sight. See, here in the book of Chronicles, chapter 13, God tells us what the difference was between the two armies. In fact, as you read God's word, it's amazing. Time and time again, God wants us to know the facts. He wants us to know the exact numbers. He wants us to know the difference. Because time and time again, He shows us that has nothing to do with victory. Victory is found in totally relying upon the Lord. That's what God shows us here this morning. A faith against the odds. And if we simply trust in God, if we choose to look to Him rather than what's going on in our lives, the difficulties, the challenges, the what ifs, the debates we argue with ourselves about and others, and ask questions and trying to figure out how to solve this problem rather than looking to God, if we look to Him, then we will prevail. Our faith not only will be strengthened, but will move forward in greater faith in the trials ahead and what God allows in our lives. God will show Himself strong, brethren. Without a doubt, God will show Himself strong. And you will prevail if you trust in the Lord. And that is to totally trust in God. Not to walk by faith, not to walk by sight at all, but to walk by faith. We need to have a faith against the odds. A faith beyond what we can see. Now that's one way to totally rely on the Lord. To completely rest in Him. Have a faith. Desire to have a faith this year against and in spite of what you can see happening around you. Now if you're a Christian here today, before you were saved, you had never seen the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead. You had never seen the Lord Jesus sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. Before you were saved, you never saw God in all His glory in heaven. You never saw the angels in heaven. But that day that you by faith called out to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to save you, by faith in that moment, you were saved once and for all. It was by faith that you were saved. It was by faith that you trusted in the sure promises of the Word of God that we read this morning. It's by faith that you were saved. It didn't begin with anything you saw. It didn't begin with seeing some sort of weird vision of Jesus, as many claim to see today, which is just a lie. We walk by faith. We're saved by faith. And it's by faith that God wants us to continue to walk with Him in the Christian life. We need to continue to walk by faith, brethren. And that means not living by sight. That means not allowing what's happening in our lives to move us. To move us in a direction that God would not have us to move in. He wants us to trust Him above and beyond what we can see. Maybe you're here this morning and you didn't know that you can be 100% sure of a home in heaven. Maybe you've never heard that before. You know, if you go out there and you ask around and you ask people, well, can you be sure? Most people will say, no, you can't. You can't be sure. I have asked that question many a time. Most people will say, you can't be sure. How can you know? That's impossible. How can you know the mind of God? Well, God has given us His mind in His Word. And in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, God says that these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. We can know. God promises that we can know for sure that we will have a home in heaven if we place our faith in Him. See, there's nothing impossible with God. There's nothing impossible. You see, the Bible tells us that you and I are sinners. And we know that. You and I are sinners and we deserve death. We deserve an eternity in hell separated from God because of our sins. But brethren, nothing is impossible with God. The Bible tells us the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, was here on earth and He went to an old rugged cross. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. So if we simply look to Him, if we look to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and if we trust Him that He can save us once and for all, in that moment that we call upon Him by faith, we're forgiven forever. The Bible promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you prayed to Jesus all your life. I remember as I grew up, I prayed to Jesus every night that He would take me to heaven. I prayed religiously, repeatedly every night, Lord, please take me to heaven. And it was only until I came here to church and I heard the preaching of the Word of God that I understood and saw that Jesus had already paid for my sins. And if I was praying to Him every night, then I had never trusted Him once and for all. I had never trusted Him as Savior once and for all. And thank God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call upon Him once to save you, then you're saved forever. All your sins, your past, present and future sins are forgiven. And maybe you're here this morning and you need to make that decision today to call upon Christ by faith once and for all and to be saved. And then, and only then will you know with 100% assurance that you're going to heaven when you die. Then you'll know. And God will come to live inside of you. And you'll be changed. But it begins by faith. Don't trust in what you hear out there. Don't trust in what you see. Trust in the Word of God. And place your faith in Christ today. Christians, living by faith is not a new thing for us. That's how we began this Christian life. By faith. God wants us to continue to live by faith. We need to stop trusting our jobs and our bank accounts and start trusting in God's promises to provide all our needs as He sees fit. We need to stop trusting in our health and our strength and start trusting in God's strength, in His strength alone and His grace to live the life He's given us. We need to stop trusting in our feelings. The Bible says that our heart is desperately wicked. It is deceitful. It will lie to you. Your own heart, my friends, will lie to you. but God won't. We need to trust in Him. We need to trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, leading us to His Word, confirming what we should do and what we should not do, not our feelings. And yet so often we live by our feelings because of what we can see. And we decide to do things a certain way, and then we say we're living by faith. We're trusting God. And yet, if we walk by sight, there is no faith at all. We need a faith, brethren, against what we can see. The lesson here is trust the Lord, not what you can see. Trust the Lord, not the circumstances around you. Abijah and his men saw what was going on. They could have ran for the hills. They had time. There was enough time for him to preach a message. And yet they chose to give evidence of a trust and a faith in God. That's the first lesson we learn about totally relying on the Lord this morning. The second lesson that I want us to learn is in the 13th verse of chapter 13. Back in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse 13. Now it's interesting what happens next. We've already seen the evidence of a measure of faith in these men's lives, in King Abijah's life, but let's see what happens next. It's interesting to note what God allows to happen. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 13. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them. They set a trap so that they were before Judah and the ambushment was behind. And in the first part of verse 14 we see, and when Judah looked back in horror, in shock, behold, the battle was before and behind. As Abijah was finishing his preaching to the nation of Israel, suddenly, without them noticing, the nation of Israel quickly moved into a more strategic position. Half of the army, 400,000, which was equal to the total of Abijah's army, went behind them. So suddenly the nation of Judah found themselves in between two groups of soldiers, equal amount to their own army, ready and about to charge in to defeat them. Not only were they impossibly outnumbered, but now they were outmaneuvered, and their situation became worse. And my point is this morning, that even after, and this is what I believe God wants us to see, even after they were trusting in God, even after they proved a measure of faith in the Lord, do we not see that God allowed their situation to become worse? God allowed their situation for a moment to become worse. Have a look in verse 12. Abijah boldly claimed that, and behold, God himself is with us for a captain. And yet what kind of captain would allow the enemy army to get into a more strategic position? But yet we see God allowed the situation to become worse. He allowed that. God allowed that. Well, why did he let that happen? Why did he let that happen? Let's see what happens next for a moment, and we'll find our answer. Let's read what happened, how they responded. In verse 14, and when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priest sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. You see, we don't know up to this time whether the nation of Judah had fully and totally trusted in God. Yes, we see that they have had a measure of faith, and that was sincere, and yet how great was their faith? Yet we do know that as God allowed the situation to become worse, as He tested their faith, we see that God taught them to totally rely on Him. God allowed the situation to become worse. Very simple lesson. God allowed the situation to become worse so that they would learn to totally rely on Him. What did they do? Let's have a look. Verse 14, they cried unto the Lord. They simply lifted up their voices in faith and they cried out unto the Lord with the enemy fast moving in with no hope of victory in their own strength. There was no doubt that this was a true cry of faith from these men. This was a true cry of faith as they put all their faith in God. Their faith was strengthened in that very moment, in that very trial, in the heat of the trial. God would either have to save them or they would perish. And they cried out to Him with that complete and total faith. They also blew their trumpets. The priests, the Bible tells us, blew their trumpets. The trumpet blow was a cry to battle. The trumpet blow was a cry of worship to God. But at this time they weren't charging into battle. They weren't running forward with their swords ready to fight. They blew their trumpets, believing completely and without a shadow of a doubt that the battle was the Lord's. The battle was God's and He was on their side. And they trusted fully and completely as they blew their trumpets. I don't know about you, but my first instinct would be to either run forward or to run back, not to blow a trumpet. Not to cry out, even as the enemy was moving in from two sides. An army twice the size of theirs. And yet they showed complete and utter and total faith in God. And then the men of Judah, the Bible tells us, gave a shout. What a wonderful picture of faith. They gave a shout. The word shout refers to joy in this verse. They gave a shout of joy, a shout of victory even before the battle was won. They gave a shout of victory because they knew that God was on their side and they will prevail because they had placed their faith in Him. God allowed their situation, brethren, to become worse that He might teach them, that they might learn in that time, in that moment, to totally rely upon God. And their faith, would you not agree, that their faith in that moment, in the heat of the trial, came forth as gold. And God was glorified. They prevailed because they relied. Not just a measure of faith, but they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. Now I dare say that there are times in our lives when even though we walk by faith, even though we choose to trust in God, even though we face a difficulty, a trial, a challenge that we know is beyond us and yet we trust in God, that God will allow that trial to get worse. God will allow that difficulty to become worse. Does everyone know what I mean? Have you ever prayed? Have you ever sought the Lord? Have you ever fasted and sought God's face only to find that the trial, the difficulty you're praying about is not getting any better? It's getting worse. God allows that. That's what we need to learn. If we're going to totally rely on the Lord this year, we need to understand and realize that God is with us in the trial. And He allows it for a reason. Because the tragedy is most Christians leave the Christian life because they fail to see the Lord in the trial. And we need to understand that victory is on the other side of faith. Prevailing by faith is on the other side of a total reliance in God. And we cannot do that. We cannot get there to the other side of faith unless we totally rely on God. And that means understanding that things sometimes might have to get a little worse before they get much better. God allows that. God allows that. Let's turn to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. We need to be reminded, brethren, of this as we walk the adventure of faith this year. It's wonderful if we look to God by faith. And God reminds us that we must. And why? He allows what He does. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Let's read this verse together. On two. One, two. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God will test our faith. Why? Well, so that our faith will ultimately become what it's meant to be. Our faith will ultimately become what God wants it to be. C.H. Spurgeon, on his commentary of this verse, wrote the following words: faith untried may be true faith, but it is sure to be little faith. And it is likely to remain dwarfish so long as it is without trials. He goes on to say that faith increases in solidity. Faith increases in assurance and intensity the more it is exercised with tribulations. Faith is precious, and its trial is precious too. A wonderful description of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. God allows what He does for our own good. And He's with us. There is no reason to despair. As we've seen in the Word of God in chapter 13 this morning, God allows us to pass through the trial of our faith that we may learn, that we may know who He is, that we may learn to trust in God, that we may come to know who He is, that we may come to know His strength, and we may understand our weakness, and we will come to know the reality of His love. The true reality of His love. Not what we think and see in our hearts, but the true reality of His love and His strength in our lives. See, back in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, it was the Lord that was glorified. It wasn't the arm of the flesh. It wasn't the soldiers, mighty though they were. It was the Lord that received the glory. It was through the nation of Judah's faith that God was glorified. But it was a faith that had to be tried first. It was a faith that had to be tested. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, crying out to God in that moment wasn't the only option that these men had. We might say, well, what other option did they have? I mean, if they were trusting in God, yeah, they'd cried out to the Lord. What else would you do? But no, that's not true. That's not the only option they had. They could have surrendered, couldn't they? They could have surrendered and said, well, trusted God for this long, but this is too much. I give up. What I can see around me tells me God has failed me. That's the attitude they could have had, and it would have been wrong. It would have been dead wrong. God was with them. He was right there with them. They also could have taken matters into their own hands, couldn't they? They could have seen the approaching army charging in from both sides and said, all right, we trusted in the Lord, but we got to do something quick. We got to take matters into our own hands. We got to make up our minds quick before we die and run forward. And perhaps they could have desperately charged against them in a panic. And who knows what the end may have been. They didn't have to cry out unto the Lord. There's still a choice, you see. And God wants us to learn to totally depend on Him. And He will at times allow our situation to become worse so that our faith may in Him come forth as gold. We need to be careful when God allows that to happen, that we understand what's happening by faith. That we understand and we look to the Lord. And yes, the Bible tells us that in another context, chastening, for example, is never joyous. Yet afterwards, God promises on the other side of chastening, which is the result of His love, that we find peace. We find a peace that wasn't there before, that couldn't have come any other way except through the trial that the Lord allows us to pass through. God allows the trial to get worse, and we need to be careful not to turn our backs on God. Not to say, God, you've deserted me because of what we see happen. And if you're like me, you've done that before. You've thought in your heart at times, Lord, where are you? You've led me thus far. It seems like as matters get worse, you're not here. And yet that's not the truth. God is with us. He's a very present help in a time of need. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. God is with us all the time. God is with us no matter what the situation appears to be. No matter how impossible our trial seems to be, God is the God of the impossible, and He can save you from all your sins today. He can forgive you once and for all, and you can experience the joy of waking up every morning knowing that you're on your way to heaven. God is the God of the impossible, and you and I, brethren, as Christians this morning, need to trust in the Lord. We need to grow in faith, and as He allows that to happen for our own good, we need to understand that He's with us and He has a purpose in that trial. He has a purpose that you and I may not even understand until we reach the other side of faith. But God has a purpose. Perhaps you're facing a trial right now. Perhaps it's been going on for a while and you've been tempted to give up. Perhaps it's a great trial. Perhaps it's a daily testing. And yet God is teaching us. And He's with us. And as we look to Him, and I better mention it, as we cry out to the Lord, totally trusting in Him, time and time again, as we cry out to the Lord in complete and utter faith, then and only then, in His timing, will we prevail. A faith tested. A faith against the odds, beyond what we can see, is what we need. And when our faith is tested, we need to trust in God even more so. We need to give up our own ways, what we see around us. We need to forget our own thoughts. And we need to turn completely to the Lord, utterly. We need to sound the trumpet of faith. We need to cry unto God. And brethren, God promises we will prevail. Whatever the outcome, whatever doubt you may have in your heart, cast it aside. Cast it aside, because God promises we will prevail. And yet that doubt perhaps in our lives this morning still remains. And we need to choose to cast it at the altar this morning. We need to choose to take that step of faith and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me this year to prevail. In conclusion, one more lesson that I'd like us to look at quickly. I won't be long. Back in the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 13, we see Abijah was the king of the nation of Judah. And as I studied this verse, I found something that put me off the message, and I thought, well, maybe the Lord's got it wrong. A good example of what I'm saying this morning. But yet there's a greater lesson to be learned. As we look at Abijah, as we look at who he is, and what the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Kings, no need to look there, let me read you what God says about him. We find that, in fact, he wasn't a godly king at all. Maybe this is the first time you've noticed his name. Abijah wasn't a godly king. He was the son of Rehoboam. And God says this about him, that he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of his father David. Sadly, we learn that Abijah's character was more like his father, Rehoboam, who had done wickedly, not like David. But we've seen this morning something. God has preserved in his word a moment in time that Abijah and the nation of Judah put their faith completely in the Lord. And the Lord did a great work of faith in their lives in that time. And what do we learn from that? Well, simply, God uses imperfect people like you and I. Sinners saved by grace. God uses imperfect people like you and I if only we would trust in Him. If only we would trust in Him. God is a merciful and a forgiving God. If God has pointed something out in your life today, don't let it sit and fester. To walk by faith is a forward-moving action and command. We cannot move forward by faith if we don't cast it at the feet of the Lord. The doubts, the sin of doubt, of unbelief, they put their faith in God simply by choosing to trust in Him totally. To look beyond what they could see, whatever that may be. To look beyond their circumstances to a God that's greater than what they can see. And in the heat of the trial, as God in His grace allowed it to happen, never forget, God was right there. God was right there, ready to step in and to smite, which He did. Not the army. They chased them afterwards. But God smote, the Bible tells us. God smote the army. And they prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. An utter and total dependence upon Him is what He desires for us this year. Let's pray.